Welcome to the Deep Dive, where today we're going to try to take you on a journey through
Ooh.
the cosmos.
Okay.
We're diving into excerpts from the Urantia book, specifically focusing on Paper 35, which unveils this incredibly detailed hierarchy of celestial beings.
It's not every day you get to explore a celestial family tree.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
So you've got this book, and it's not shying away from laying out a whole structure of the universe, right?
Yeah.
But instead of just listing names, it's like it gives you the job descriptions, the roles, the responsibilities. That's
Right.
fascinating.
What's fascinating to me is that it suggests the structure isn't some distant hands-off system.
Right.
These beings, according to the book, are actively involved in the evolution of our local universe.
Okay, so less clockwork universe
Yeah.
and more cosmic family reunion where everyone has a part to play.
Exactly. Now, before we get too far, it's worth noting that the Urantia book starts by mentioning these paradise suns, Michaels, Avenals, Danels.
Okay.
They're like the top tier operating from the highest realm.
Gotcha. So like the ultimate cosmic executives. But today we're focusing on the folks a little closer to our neighborhood, right?
Precisely. Today's focus is on those suns originating within a local universe, much like our own.
Okay, so imagine this. Instead of inheriting the family business, you inherit a whole universe.
And the responsibility of nurturing its growth and evolution.
Oh, yeah.
That's the task these suns are entrusted with, but they're not in it alone.
Right.
There are different orders within this hierarchy, each with its own unique role to play.
Okay.
Think of it like this incredible cosmic dance with each order moving in sync to keep the universe humming along.
Okay, now I'm picturing a cosmic waltz and I need names.
Okay.
Who are our first dancers?
Let's start with the Melchizedeks.
Melchizedeks.
Now imagine beings of immense wisdom known for their diplomacy and their ability to mediate.
Hold on, mediate. Are we talking about cosmic therapists here? What kind of situations call for a Melchizedek mediator?
Think of it more like this. When there's a crisis on a planet, when things are going haywire and guidance is desperately needed, that's when the Melchizedeks step in. They're the first order of suns who can interact directly with mortals without needing to be born on a planet.
Okay, now that's impressive. No messy births for these guys. They just kind of appear when needed.
It's more than just appearing, it's their origin. They aren't born into a physical world like we are. The book suggests they have this unique ability to bridge the gap between the divine and the evolving worlds.
So like a cosmic bridge-building team showing up with blueprints for spiritual growth. I'm intrigued.
What's even more remarkable, the Melchizedeks literally wrote the book on self-governance.
Oh, wow.
They manage themselves, which is incredible considering the power and responsibility they hold.
And it makes you wonder, what can we learn from their success? What makes their system work so well that they've maintained order and harmony for, well, who knows how long?
That's a question worth pondering, isn't it? Their example might hold insights into how we here on Earth can better govern ourselves and create a more harmonious society.
Yeah.
But speaking of governance and intervention,
You have me at intervention. Give me a cosmic 911 story.
well, but think about the story of Abraham,
Okay.
the Prince of Salem who interacted with him. That was a Melchizedek, choosing to live as a human to safeguard spiritual knowledge during a dark period on Earth.
Okay, wow. Talk about dedication. To choose to live among us, experience our world, it makes you realize the lengths these beings are willing to go to help us on our own journeys.
And that's just the beginning. But let's move on to the next order, the Verondadex. They're the steady hands, the reliable administrators of the cosmos. If the Melchizedeks are the counselors, the Verondadex are the ones who oversee the day-to-day operations, ensuring the smooth functioning of entire
Oh,
constellations.
like constellations, like those groupings of stars we see in the night sky.
Exactly. Except imagine each star representing not just a single sun, but entire star systems, some with hundreds, even thousands of planets. Each Verondadek is responsible for governing one of these vast regions of space.
Okay, so we've gone from cosmic mediators to cosmic governors.
Yeah.
It makes you realize the sheer scale of this hierarchy, right? It's mind-boggling. So we're talking about a level of responsibility that's almost unimaginable, right? I mean, overseeing the evolution of countless worlds, it's a big job.
It is indeed. And according to the Urantia book, the Verondadex approach this task with an unwavering commitment to cosmic law. They're the upholders of order, ensuring that the universe functions according to its grand design.
But even with a grand design, things must get a little messy sometimes, right? I
Yeah.
mean, we're talking about free will operating on a cosmic scale.
You're right, and that's where the Verondadex steady hand becomes even more crucial. Think about it. They have this incredible vantage point observing the successes and failures of countless civilizations over eons.
So they've basically seen it all. The rise and fall of empires, the triumphs and tragedies of entire species. That's got to give you some serious perspective.
Perspective and wisdom. They've witnessed firsthand the consequences of choices made both good and bad. And you know, this is where it gets really interesting because according to the book, even though they are devoted to cosmic law, the Verondadex aren't infallible.
Wait, really? So even these cosmic administrators, these pillars of order, they make mistakes.
It seems that even in the celestial realms, there's room for learning and growth. The book mentions instances where Verondadex judgments were actually overturned by higher courts.
You're telling me there are cosmic appeals courts? Now that's an episode for another day. But it is reassuring that even those in such high positions of authority are still, in a way, learning as they go. It adds a very human element to this whole cosmic structure, don't you think?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It suggests that growth and evolution are ongoing processes, even for beings of such advanced standing. But speaking of learning and growth, let's shift our focus to the Lanandex.
Okay, Lanandex. They're next on our cosmic organizational chart, right?
Right.
What's their area of expertise?
Well, if the Melchizedex are the diplomats and the Verondadex are the governors, think of the Lanandex as the ones who put things into action. They have this dual role. Some serve as system sovereigns, overseeing entire star systems, while others take on the mantle of planetary princes governing individual planets.
Hold on. Let me get this straight. We've got cosmic mediators, cosmic governors, and now cosmic rulers. That's a lot to take in.
And here's the kicker. The Urantia book suggests that a Lanandex is actually ruling your solar system right now.
Wait, seriously? Like right this second? There's a Lanandex calling the shots in our little corner of the cosmos. Okay, that's both amazing and off. A lot of pressure for them, don't you?
Well, they don't just hand out planets like party favors. The book describes a rigorous testing and ranking system that these Lanandex go through.
Oh, so it was like cosmic finals week.
Yeah.
But instead of cramming for exams, they're proving they can handle the challenges of governing entire worlds.
Precisely. And from this testing process, three distinct classes of Lanandex emerge. You've got the primary Lanandex, the top tier, who often become system sovereigns or advisors to higher-ups. Then there are the secondary Lanandex, destined to be planetary princes. And finally, the tertiary Lanandex, who handle all those essential tasks that keep the cosmic machinery running smoothly.
Cosmic civil servants. I love it. But you know, earlier you mentioned cosmic rebellions, and you said the book talks about Lanandex rebellions. That doesn't sound very smoothly running to me.
Yes. The elephant in the room, or should I say the rebellion in the universe? It's true. The Urantia book states that over 700 Lanandex in our universe have rebelled against the established order.
Okay, 700. That's a lot of rebellious energy. Should we be worried? Is our planetary prince going to suddenly decide to go rogue?
Highly unlikely. Remember, this is out of millions upon millions of Lanandex who remain dedicated to their duties. The text presents these rebellions as a consequence of free will, a risk inherent in creating beings with the capacity to choose their own path.
So it's like the old saying, with great power comes the potential for, well, maybe not always great irresponsibility, but definitely some independent thinking.
Exactly. But here's where the Urantia book adds another layer of complexity. It suggests that those who do rebel aren't met with punishment or retribution. Instead, there's an effort to rehabilitate and reintegrate them into the cosmic order.
Wow. That's surprisingly forgiving, isn't it? It seems like even on a cosmic scale, there's room for second chances, which I think is a really beautiful concept. But we've talked a lot about administration, governance, even a little rebellion. What about the more inspirational side of this hierarchy? This universe sounds like it could be a massive school.
That's a fantastic way to put it. The pursuit of knowledge and spiritual growth is woven into the very fabric of this celestial hierarchy. Imagine entire worlds dedicated to education and experiential learning. That's what we're talking about here.
Okay, now you're speaking my language. So walk us through this cosmic curriculum. Where do we enroll? What are the core subjects?
Picture this. You start on the Melchizedek worlds, those realms of wisdom and guidance we talked about earlier. Here, the focus is on reviewing past life experiences, connecting the dots, and extracting wisdom from every lifetime.
So it's not just about learning new information. It's about integrating those experiences into a larger understanding of ourselves.
Exactly. It's about recognizing patterns, understanding the consequences of our choices, and gaining a deeper understanding of who we are as evolving souls. And once you've mastered those lessons, you move on to the Verondadex worlds.
From self-discovery to cosmic law school. That's quite a leap.
It is, but remember, this isn't your typical classroom setting. We're talking about experiential learning on a grand scale. On the Veranda Deck worlds, you're not just reading about cosmic law, you're witnessing its application, perhaps even participating in its creation.
So instead of memorizing legal codes, you're seeing firsthand how cosmic principles play out in the real universe.
Precisely. It's about developing a deep intuitive understanding of the forces that govern existence.
Wow. Talk about an immersive learning experience.
Yeah.
So let me guess, after you've aced your cosmic law exams, you move on to even bigger challenges.
Exactly. That's when you reach the Lanananandek worlds. Remember, these are the beings tasked with governing systems and planets. They become your mentors, sharing their eons of experience, guiding you towards becoming effective and compassionate leaders yourself.
Okay, so it's like cosmic internships, but with the fate of worlds hanging in the balance.
Yeah.
No pressure.
The stakes are high, but the learning potential is incredible. Imagine receiving guidance from beings who've witnessed the successes and failures of countless civilizations. It's an unparalleled opportunity to understand the delicate balance of individual freedom and the greater good.
You know, it strikes me that this entire system, this cosmic hierarchy, it's all about growth, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like this grand cosmic university is designed to help us reach our full potential, both individually and collectively.
But that's a powerful insight. And it makes you think, doesn't it? What if our own journey here on Earth is part of something much larger, a cosmic curriculum designed to help us evolve and contribute to the universe in ways we can't even imagine yet?
It's a mind-blowing concept. It makes those everyday struggles feel a bit less significant when you consider the bigger picture, don't you think?
It certainly puts things in perspective. And, you know, that brings us back to the heart of the Urantia book. It's not just a dry theoretical text. It's an invitation to see ourselves and our place in the universe in a whole new light.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into this celestial hierarchy, what's the key takeaway you hope our listener will carry with them?
I'd say this. If the Urantia book's vision resonates with you, consider this. What if you're not just living your life, but living out your own unique part in a grand cosmic symphony orchestrated by beings dedicated to our growth and evolution?
It's a beautiful thought.
Yeah.
And on that note, I think we've done our best to unpack this fascinating celestial hierarchy. But for our listener, this is just the beginning of the exploration. There's so much more to uncover within the pages of the Urantia book, isn't there?
Absolutely. And who knows what other incredible insights await as we continue to explore the mysteries of the cosmos and our place within it.
Exactly. So yeah. Until next time, keep those minds open, those questions flowing, and keep seeking. You never know what you might discover about yourself and the universe around you. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.